I only have a couple of verses to read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. That's all the reading tonight. So let's hear now from God's word, God's precious word, to his people from the prophet Isaiah chapter 58, beginning verse 13. If thou turn thy foot away from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, not speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. May the Lord bless his word to us. Again, Lord, we are thankful to be here tonight, to worship thee, especially to worship thee according to thy word, which is what we all want to do, we are most apt to do. We know that thou dost delight in it. So do we. And we pray that you be here, remaining and blessing your people. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about the Sabbath day. I've spoken about this before. I want to encourage you once again as God's people on probably some of the things I say. Well, will pertain to you, but not as much as it pertains to others who are wayward, at least as far as this commandment goes. But it's not all negative. We can go negative here, but that's not really the idea. The idea in this portion, even in the Old Testament, when the Sabbath was on Saturday, the last day of the week, certainly a joy to the people, but the main focus of the commandment, the fourth commandment, the main focus of these two verses here was to encourage people to delight in it, not to go negative and nasty on them, although there is some negative things that need to be brought up and brought out and explained in the process of delighting in the Lord, because that's what it's all about, really. It's, you know, we're supposed to delight in the Lord, and then you ask the question immediately, well, what does that mean? How do you delight in the Lord? How do you become happy in Jesus? Well, here's one of the things that is vitally important so to do. The problem is, of course, that it's not just the world that goes negative when it comes to the first four commandments, and particularly this one, but it's also the Christian that really is very negative about it. I mean, you can't tell him anything without getting defensive, or without him getting defensive on you and feeling that, well, you're judging me, or you're being legalistic. And that's not what we're intending to do. That's not what God intends to do. Because as you hear from the psalmist, he delighted in the commandments. He studied them. He made them his rule for life. He wanted to be, he wanted to imbibe them and drink them in and drink them down deep to in his soul and just live by them. It was a love affair. And that's what we need to have with God's word, all of God's word and all of his commandments, a love affair. We need to be in love with him, and as a result, we be lovely. We start turning lovely. It takes some time. And that's why the young people, the young Christians, the Christians that are wayward, back and forth on the fence with things, they don't appreciate the fact that how happy you can be in being in love with God and him in love with you and all that, because it takes time for that to develop. This Christianity is not an automatic kind of thing. It's a lifelong process. Yes, instantly, some things happen instantly, adoption, justification, forensic justification, all that. But some things happen over the course of time, like sanctification and love and faith and all. They grow. But they grow only in certain ways. And if you divorce yourself from those ways, if you, you know, hit and miss on those ways, your growth is gonna be thwarted, stunted. And so I want to encourage us to grow in this area. And one of the ways to grow is to hear the things that are really meant. Like I said, I try not to pull any punches. I try to say things as clearly as possible, succinctly as possible, straightforwardly, so as to to make no mistake about it. I was talking to somebody after the service this morning, and he said that, you know, in the OPC, what we have a lot in the OPC is head-to-head type preaching and teaching. I could do that. I could give you nuances in the Greek and the Hebrew. I could tell you what the scholars say about this and about that and develop it in such a way. But he said what we need more of is what you're trying to do in your preaching, giving head to heart, you know, practical kind of stuff that you can hear. It's hard to do application throughout a sermon. You realize that. Usually what you do is you set out the scripture and you set it out and you develop it, you develop your argument, you set down the course of the text a little bit, and then you get into application sort of towards the end. But to be applicable, to apply the scripture throughout is very difficult to do. And I fail at that sometimes, but I try to do just that. Everything I say, like Calvin did, he stopped in every line of scripture, every phrase, and he gave application. He applied it to the saints at that time. Well, you know what's going on with the Sabbath. With the day of the Lord, as we call it today, the Lord's Day, there is perhaps even more business, buying and selling, commerce and such, on the Lord's Day than on any other day, at least in certain sense, like restaurants open. There are certainly sports activities and other activities, entertainment and things like that on the Lord's Day. More of it seems, than on other days. And, of course, we expect that from the world. The world's going to do that. The world's always done that and will always do it. But what's happening is that Christians are falling for it, too. And they are tempted by it. And it's all around. And it's encourage, your friends encourage us to do this, to do that, to think this way, to think that way. And it's difficult to resist. And we don't want to appear like we're holier than thou's to others, which we're not. And it's not about setting do's and don'ts. I don't do that. I've never done that. Oh, yeah, a couple of times I said you should do this, you should, but only according to the word. But we don't want to have a list of things we should be doing on the Lord's Day and shouldn't be doing. That's legalism. That is legalism. That's Pharisaism. And so that if we just adhere strictly to this list, we'll be all right. That's what the Pharisees did. And you're not all right if that's your approach. Yes, lists are good. Rules are good. They can be. But that's not the idea of the Sabbath. Certainly not the idea here. The idea here, the operative word, is delight. That we are to delight in the Lord. We are to delight in the Sabbath. And so I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about first it being a different day. I know you've heard that it's not, no day is different from the other. It is, in one sense anyway. I'm going to talk about that. Then I want to talk about this idea of not seeking after our ways and our pleasures and our speakings. You know, our own ways, our own pleasure, our own speaking. Let's unpack that just a little bit. And finally, the third point is to delight in the day. Just delight in it. Be happy about it. Be joyful and glad. So three things. First, I want to say that it is a special day. It is a unique day with others. I mean, I'm not making this up. It's not something that, oh, wow, after I've studied for... No, this is something that's plainly out there in the literature and commentary and articles and stuff like that, that it is a unique day. It's different from the other days. And how is it different from the other days? Well, it says right here that the Lord calls it in verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. My holy day. So immediately we understand, the Old Testament people understood this, we understand that the Lord is saying something different about this day compared to the other days. And the difference is that it's my holy day. In other words, it's a day devoted to my God. It's a day devoted to God, not to me, not to my man, not to my ways. But it's a day devoted to God. And that makes it different because it's a day. It's not just a devotion time, a prayer time at home and all, great time to have and all that stuff. But it's a day devoted to God. Yes, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man to devote himself to his God. And so that's what makes it different. God is emphasizing the fact that this is a day for him, not for you, not for your family, not for your friends, but for him. Now, we can't turn to the world in this. The world's going to confuse us. The world is not about this. The world doesn't want to obey the commands of God. Certainly not the first four commandments. Wants nothing whatsoever to do with them. But we do, as Christians. We want to encourage ourselves and others in this way. It's a holy day. It's God's day. And he wants us to devote ourselves to him. It's all about him. It's not about us. Now, when it's about us, then we do. We seek our own ways, our own pleasures, our own words. And that's not necessarily bad. But on this day, the Sabbath of the Lord our God, it's not right to do. It's something that we realize that on that day, it is not right to do. Of course, I'm not implying for a moment that any of us can keep this commandment perfectly. That we sin and fall short here. But before we even get into that, we know the commandments of God are good. The psalmist says it over and over again. It's in the Old Testament. Certainly Jesus did not come to desecrate the commandments, to break the commandments, but to fulfill the commandments. They're good things. And before anything else, we want to try to understand them. In order to do them properly, and to enjoy them properly, we need to understand them. And so we need to understand this. And we can't turn the world, unfortunately, we can't turn the evangelical community even, because they're all confused about it. And we need to go to the Scripture. And I think that the Scripture is pretty clear here. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to know all the nuance of words and all that. That helps, but you don't have to know it. If you keep from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, finding thine own pleasure, speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. You know, you see the connection here between understanding that it's God's day, it's a holy day, and delighting in the Lord. It's a commandment that connects that. And we're not going to have as much pleasure, as much delight as we can as Christians if we don't understand how important this is to our God. Delight thyself. Delight thyself in the Lord means to take pleasure in Him, to enjoy Him. That's the first catechism question, right? What is the chief end of man? To enjoy Him forever. Well, this is a way, we're given a way to do that, to enjoy our God. And so we ought not to consider it a hardship, a burden, a trouble to come to church. And I don't think you do. I'm not implying that you do. Although at times, if we're not feeling well, we didn't get enough sleep, we might. But that's not the issue. I think your attitude is correct, and I want to encourage it all the more without going negative and start getting all confrontational about this and causing consternation to occur. We should be delighted, and you should be encouraged to be happy obeying this commandment. This should be great, finding great joy. In fact, this is the best day of the week. And that's not just a speech. That's not just a way of speaking. I'm not just saying that because I'm a minister and I get to preach, although that is such a delight to do on the Lord's Day. It is a lot of work to me, for me, but it's delightful. But it should be felt. It should really be true for your life that this is the best day of the week. The Sabbath day, the Lord's Day. Now, now we delight in this day by doing what God requires us to do, by doing it His way, not our way. By taking hold of it. Now I want to talk a little bit about these three things he brings up in verse 13, that we ought to, of course, take pleasure in His day, holy day, delight in it, in the Lord who is holy, honor Him, and the way we honor Him is, well, positively is to delight in it and by doing the things that God requires, but in the negative sense, by not doing certain other things, not doing our own ways, not finding our own pleasures, not speaking our own words. Those three things. Now, not finding or not doing our own ways. Well, what's that? What's our own ways? Well, our own ways would be any of the things that we normally do the other 6 days. Teacher or a student or an employer or an employee, a father and a husband that works outside the house and inside the house, a wife and a mother that works outside the house and inside the house, you know, doing your own things, following your own life. That's nothing. There's nothing wrong with any of that, right? It's all good stuff to do. It's all necessary stuff to do. But God is saying, on my day, my holy day, when you are to devote yourself to me that day, fully devote yourself, not in part, but fully, refrain from doing your own ways. They're not bad ways. They're not wicked ways. They're good ways. They're fine ways. But on this day, I want you to focus on something else. I want you to focus on my ways. So that's simply what he means there. All the good things you do the other 6 days, stop. Stop doing them and focus on mine. The other thing he says here is not finding thine own pleasure. Again, what's your own pleasure? Well, it could be all kinds of activities. Hobbies and sports and entertainment and getting together with friends and going out to eat. Whatever it is. I mean, there's just so many fine things you do that they're not evil pleasures. He's not talking about wicked pleasures, lust and lasciviousness and all that. He's talking about all those pleasures that you enjoy the other 6 days. On this day, I want you to stop doing them. Refrain from doing it. Put them down for a minute. Put the pencil down, like the teacher says. Put the book down, put the pencil down, put your note down, and look up and listen to me. Pay attention to me on this day. Nothing wrong with taking pleasure in so many different ways. But on this day, I want you to take pleasure and delight in me. See, it's not all negative here, right? It's really good. It's solid, sound advice. And then he goes on to say here as well that not speaking thine own words. Again, there's all kinds of things that of which we speak. Some is idle, yeah, some is idle chatter, but that's not always bad. Have a little trivia and out there, but also to discuss the plans of the week and the business of the week and this project and to do and that thing to do and all these things that we talk about to ourselves. I know I talk to myself a lot. I just tell people I'm praying. But sometimes I'm just talking to myself. But, we talk to ourselves, we talk to others, family members, we talk on the phone, we do all kinds of things. But on this day, I want you also to stop talking about all those things that fill and occupy your mind and your speech the other 6 days. Stop doing them. Put them down. And pay attention to me. And yeah, you could talk on the Sabbath. Of course you could talk on the Sabbath, but talk about me. Talk about my word. Talk about the sermon you just heard or the hymns you just sang. Talk about prayer items. Talk about the things of God. That day, that whole day. Put aside the other talk that you talk 6 days of the week. About which you talk 6 days of the week. And on this day, talk to me. Talk about me. Pay attention to me. This is delighting in the Lord, right? This is the prescription. God wants to cover all bases here. He wants to cover all of our activities, including, perhaps especially including, our own speech, our own thoughts, our own thinking. Because, after all, that's really where the issues of life come, right? Out of the heart and then into the mind, flooding the mind into the beliefs, and then we go out and do. So before we even do stuff, we get to think and to talk about it. And talk about me. Think about me. Not wrong to think about the Lord and to devote yourself to the Lord the other 6 days of the week, right? That's certainly not wrong to do that. But see, this is the day where we really start focusing on that so that we can do that kind of thing the rest of the week We know what we're talking about, whom we're talking about. We've learned something, and now we're about to apply it. And so, finally, we ought to delight in the Lord. And you know what that means now, by now. I've mentioned it several times. Delight in Jehovah, your God. And how do you do that? Well, in Presbyterian-type circles, Reform-type circles, we have designed worship. It doesn't have to be this way to have two worship services, Sunday school before worship in the morning, and opening exercises before that. We fill the morning up, and by that time, by the time worship is over, you know, we're hungry, we're tired, we need to rest. And then we come back in the evening to also focus on the Lord, so that by the time we get home from morning worship and we get to eating and to relaxing for an hour or so, it's time for the evening. So we try to structure it in such a way, and this is just being practical, we try to structure it in such a way so that we help you fill the day with the Lord, focus on the Lord. It doesn't have to be two services. It could be one main service in the afternoon that lasts for 3 hours or something like that. But we've designed it in such a way so that it helps us to focus as much as we possibly can, to encourage the people of God as much as to delight in the Lord. So to come to God's house, right? And to delight in Him. The focus is on Him, especially on His Word. And it's to help you. It's to help you do this, to find your delight in Him, your happiness, your joy in Him. Remember, it's not to be a burden. And then, what do? Well, we came here this morning, and what did we find out? We found out that all of our sins are forgiven. We found out that the gospel of Christ is so wonderful that we are to gain our strength, to flee the clutches of the evil one by fleeing to the cross. We found out what it is we ought to do, how it is we ought to flee to the cross. So that we can not sin. We can overcome the world. Flee into the world and into the midst of the world is going into the camp of the enemy. There's no way you're not going to sin. So we flee to the cross. Well, it's so wonderful to hear about the cross. And then to also picture the sacrifice of Christ through the sacrament, to partake of the sacrament and be comforted knowing that we are the people of God, that this is for us, that God is inviting us to His table here on earth, yes, but a greater table in heaven set for us. There's a place setting for us at the table of God. I often think of that scene in the Last Supper, and this is a painting by Da Vinci and has Christ depicted, and we know we're not supposed to do that, but I'm putting myself in the place of one of the disciples there and sitting with the Lord in heaven. That's what I think of when I see that. Sitting with the Lord, not on earth, but in heaven. And it's, doesn't that make you happy? If you come to a church and they're preaching and teaching other stuff, things that are about the world, politics, and I mean that's gonna aggravate you. That's gonna annoy you, especially if the pastor is for a politician that you're not. That's aggravation. But we're all for Christ. And we're all for the sacrament. And so it's to be a delight. It's a delight to see other Christians. I know we're debating whether we should quiet the people down. They're too noisy before the worship service. And just keep quiet. Don't talk. Just be in prayer. But the people are happy to see one another. It's good to see you. Hi, how you doing? That's what they're doing. They're not sinning. You're not acting shamefully. If you got real noisy and loud and all that stuff, maybe you have to step out a little. But, you know, just to greet someone. To be in the house of God with the God's people ready to hear from Christ's word is a joy. We're identifying with people that, I mean, we're rare. We're like rare jewels, right? There's not many people like us when we get out there in the broader public. There's not many really like us. And when we do meet somebody, it could be at work or at school or wherever, it's, you know, we light up a little. A whole house, a whole church full of people. Lord, that's why we want the churches filled, right? Because it's just a delight to have all the people on the same page together, focusing on one thing, God, their Christ. What earthly pleasure compares to that? And then it sets the pace for the rest of the week so that when we get the opportunity during our busy week, chock full of things to do, when we set aside a portion of the day, a half hour or an hour or whatever, to pray and to sing hymns, perhaps with our family, especially when we have children and they're involved, and we're involved in teaching them, explaining to them what it's like. And so their minds are fresh and they're open to hear what dad, what mom have to say about Christ. And you know what you're talking about, because you're part of the worship community and you focus on the Lord every Sabbath day. You began your week with Him. And you want to talk about that and impart that. And it's just such a delight to that portion of the day to get intimate with the Lord and perhaps have other family members along with you on the same page, so to speak. What compares to that? And so we ought to delight in the Lord. The first day of the week, all day, focus on Him. And even during the course of the week, carry it through the rest of the week as much as we are able so to do. We need this, brothers and sisters. The Sabbath was made for man, like Jesus said. We need it. We need to delight in Him. We need to focus on Him. Yeah, a day in the week. We really do need that. And we will get happier. Become more delighted. Enjoy Christianity more. Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we do pray that you'd go with us, this was a delightful day, a time when we could, re-energize, as we are apt to say, ourselves spiritually, though. And, that we have paid attention, that we have focused on things that really matter the most to us. And because of they matter the most, that is a delight. This really means something more than anything else in my life. This means the most to me. And we have done that today. And we are thankful that you have given us another day, another opportunity to delight in the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As a closing, sing another hymn familiar to us, hymn number 500.